As it is in heaven, yeah, 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 yeah. say yes. I'll say yes. I'll say yes to the will of God.
Well, good morning, my wonderful Rise Up family out there, probably doing the same thing that I'm doing right now, just saying yes to Jesus. Just saying yes. Are you having a bad day? Is there a lot going on in your life that would make most people crumble? But Jesus is right there to tell you everything's going to be okay and asks you if you understand. You just say yes. I'm going to put a huge, joyful smile on my face. I'm going to just say yes to your acceptance, to your salvation, to your mercy, to your love, to your hugs, to spending time together, to getting anger out of my heart. I say, yes, I'll do that today. And I know that so many of you are out there saying the same things, and it makes me happy. April 12th, year of our Lord, 2024, 10 minutes past the hour, 9 a.m., where we rise up together, folks. I want to say thank you for being here this morning. I want to say thank you for being here every morning on my journey with Jesus, because it truly, truly is, it's very special to me that all of you are doing this with me every day. As a matter of fact, if you guys weren't with me doing this with me every day, I don't know if I would have the support and the strength to do this every day. So I just want to say thank you, because you are an integral part, and I mean a very important piece of my journey with Jesus. So I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Now, I'm titled today's show, A Steady Stream. Now, you may be wondering what I mean by that. Well, I didn't have time, and I apologize, to get the morning newsletter out today. But if you could do me a favor, while we're getting ready for this morning, while we have this beautiful creation, God's creation behind me, sun rising, birds chirping, wind blowing, God whispering, I'd like you to please open up your Bibles to the book of Acts today, specifically Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Mary Beck says, we need you as much as you need us. Well, that's a good feeling. Thank you so much. I'll ask that you guys please sign in and share, share, share. You want to know why? Because we never know who needs this message today. We never know if this message is actually going to save somebody today, or who it won't save if we don't. River Rat says, day 10 for me, and I am so blessed by you. Well, I want to say I'd like to pass that glory on to God, because without the Holy Spirit in me every day and without you guys, the glory of God would not be coming through the airwaves like it does every single day, Monday through Friday. A steady stream. And we're going to go to the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Okay? Aussie mom says, I'm not from Australia. I have Aussie pups. And I, mate, I've got some pups. I'd like to say good morning to Water Cop, and I'm Sullivan. Aussie mom, of course. Annette Smith, God bless you and good morning. Splendor Faith and Water Cop. Anders, 7925, good morning. Anders says, good morning to you too, of course, Eli. Have a blessed day. Today is my daughter Sarah's 10th birthday. She's my baby girl. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I don't know the 10. Oh, Sarah and Jeremy too. We have another Jeremy, 38th birthday. Happy birthday, Sarah and Jeremy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to both of you. And Tina, thank you so very much for a $100 Friday donation here on Rise Up. We appreciate it more than you know. Every time we see a dollar coming, we're like, we can eat and keep going. Oh, man. Water Cop says, it makes things easier to focus on Jesus when we get together each day. Well, there's that song, what if church on Sunday was church on Monday too, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? What if we had church every day? Would it keep us on that path a lot easier? Would we stay on that path throughout the week a lot easier? And the answer is yes. Unequivocally, yes. We proved it. We prove it every day. If you guys miss Rise Up, what is your day like compared to if you don't? I guess that's the thing you have to ask yourself, right? And the same thing with our friend, Miss Julie Green. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer, because I've got a deep message to get to today. Of course, it's Comfort Friday, so we've got a Ray Comfort video as well. I've also got an Instagram video to show you that I saved for you, and much more, folks. So, Jeremy, the other day you had us put our name in place of two words in the Bible. What words were they? Love. Love was the word. Love was the word. And it actually was pretty awesome. Rise Up helps me focus for the day, says 1985 VOL. I don't ever want to miss our morning Godcast, says Overheard. Neither do I. Well, that's a good segue into prayer. So please remove your hats. And if you're wearing one, most probably are not, but if you are, let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Lord and Heavenly Father, you've done so much for us in the last few months here on Rise Up. So many of us now walk through trials and bad times with smiles on our face and joy in our hearts, where that just wasn't the same a year ago. You've been able to bring me through such calamity that's gone on in my family for the last few months, and so many people here in the chat as well, with a smile on our face and joy in our hearts. And Lord, that is such a difference from where we used to be. This journey with you is so great, and we are so blessed to be able to do it. Today, Lord, I want to talk about prayer. We know that prayer is powerful. The Son, Yeshua, tells us to pray fervently. From the Old Testament through the New Testament, keeping in prayer, staying in prayer, is what you command us to do for our own good and for our ability to be able to have conversation with you and dialogue with you, understanding and comprehension from you through the Holy Spirit. The power of prayer is unlike anything on earth. A nuke, a weapon of mass destruction, a 50 cal tank gun, a machine gun, whatever, none of that is more powerful than prayer. It's the most powerful weapon we have against the principalities of darkness and the evil one waiting around every corner like a hungry lion, waiting to devour us, our children, and their children. Prayer is our power. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer. I'll never forget when Chris Pratt accepted awards at the Nickelodeon Kids Awards, and I believe it was for his role in Guardians of the Galaxy. And he said, God is real. And he said, prayer is powerful. Don't ever cease praying. It's the best thing you can do for somebody. And I got to say, even in his role as Star-Lord, was his name in Guardians of the Galaxy, he even mentioned Jesus in a movie, in a Marvel, Disney-owned franchise, even mentioned Jesus. That's how close he is to God. And he is in the middle of Hollywood in A-list movies making the big bucks. And God has put an armor of God around him in the middle of Hollywood where he goes online every day and talks about scripture, or at least every week, multiple times, and he's still separate from Hollywood, but thriving inside, spreading the name of Jesus, because Jesus has got him cloaked, and he can't be harmed. And I love that. I love the fact that music artists, some, but athletes in a huge number, are now using their platform to say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They're wearing shirts that say, Jesus is my Savior. They're wearing headbands that says, Jesus is King. And they're getting on ESPN, and they're getting on these platforms at these press conferences, and they are unapologetically telling you to never stop praying. And today, that's our message. FL girl just asked for prayer from all of us for her to help her get better because she's been sick for 2 weeks. Can you keep her in your prayers today? Can you keep her in your prayers around your dinner table today with your families? I'm telling you, power of prayer. Now, let me get to today's description, and then we'll go right to our verses of the day today, okay? And never forget that when you look down in the description of the show, there's always going to be a button that says show more. Click that button and all of our partners and sponsors will drop down and make it very easy for you to click if you wanted to try any of them, okay? Now, Rise Up episode 335. Did you ever watch your kids or your grandkids playing with a super soaker? Eli, remember the super soaker? Pump it up, shoot a cannon of water at somebody. It's like the best water gun ever invented, right? Did you know that the super soaker was invented by a NASA scientist? Did you know that? And like most inventions, it was by accident. It was because there was a pressurized valve that sprung a leak and was shooting a stream of water so far that he couldn't believe it, and he got the idea for the super soaker, where you pump it up and you pressurize this canister and you would shoot out a steady, strong stream of water that'd be farther than a hose, farther than any of those cheap little water guns you got at the 5 and dime store, the 5 and 10 store, remember that? The nickel and dime store? It's amazing because it pressurizes a steady stream of water to blast out at the muzzle, of the end of the muzzle, at a high velocity. Now, so how will this fit into today's message? Well, you're actually going to love it, folks. Make sure you share the gospel, not gossip, today. Please go to your Bibles, Acts chapter 12, verse 5 through 17. And I will read out of the ESV version first, so that everybody can understand correctly, and then we'll read from another version. So Acts chapter 12, verse 5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. I want to stop right there. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer was for him was made to God by the church. Now let's go to the Geneva 1599 Bible. Same chapter, same verse. Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer was made of the church unto God for him. And now let's go to the complete Jewish Bible. So Kepha, K-E-F-A, Peter, was being held under watch in prison. But intense prayer was being made to God on his behalf by the messianic community. Now I want to stop right there. Because each one of those different versions lay out a very, very powerful situation and information. And that is that Peter was kept in prison, and it says a steady stream, because if you look at intense prayer, nonstop prayer, any of the words that they used to describe the prayer that was going up to God, it meant constant. What is another word for constant? A steady stream, like a super soaker. So it says, Peter was kept in prison, and a steady stream of prayer went up to God. Peter, oh God, Peter prayed the church. Did you ever pray for anyone like that? Honestly. Have you ever prayed intense prayer for someone else? For something that they're going through that you are not? I'm sure we have. I'm sure we have. Peter Kepha had the entire church community, the entire messianic community, fervently praying, intense prayer, a steady stream for Peter while he was in a physical prison. But how many know that there are a lot of different kinds of prisons out there, aren't there? I was in a physical prison for totaling over almost 4 years, over three years. But I have been in many other kinds of prisons for decades. Peter was in a physical prison, but how many prisons and different kinds of prisons are there, folks? Well, let's get to that. People may be in a prison of hate. You know that, right? You've been there. People may be in a prison of unforgiveness or bitterness or drugs or alcohol, anger, abuse, depression, loneliness, despair. Whatever it is, whatever prison that you find yourself in or that somebody in your family is in, it doesn't have to be a physical prison, guys. It doesn't. There are many prisons that hold people captive for a lot longer than any physical prisons ever would. But whatever the prison is, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, there is only one who can deliver them. There's only one. Now, I want to go and continue to read the verses after verse 5, because that's going to bring us basically back to square one with this message. Let's go back to the ESV version to read chapter 6 or verse 6 and beyond. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone on the cell and in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." Eli, yesterday I came to work and I told you, have you ever had somebody where you feel the heat of their breath while you're in a dead sleep say, "Wake up"? And you said you've never had that happen to you before, right? That happened to me 2 nights ago. 2 nights ago, I heard a siren, like almost like an emergency siren for an evacuation of a city. I was sleeping. It was 5 a.m. and I heard, and it woke me up out of a dead sleep. And I listened. I saw the light starting to shine in the bedroom because it was 5 a.m. The sun was coming up. I heard this, woke me up out of a dead sleep. I sat up real quick. I wasn't dreaming, by the way. I sat up real quick and I looked around, like kind of like, you know, when you first wake up and you're groggy and I'm like, what's going on? And it was nothing. No other sound was made. So I went back to sleep. And you know when you just doze off to where you might be able to hear things going on, but you really don't care because you are in that slumber now and you're about to fall into a deep, deep, deep sleep? In my left ear, because I sleep on my back, on my left ear, I felt, not only heard, but felt the hot breath of somebody getting down into my ear, and it was like a loud whisper, almost a talk, but they were like, get up, just like that, get up. And it jolted me more than the siren. It actually got me up on my feet. I jumped up out of bed, and I was like, because I thought somebody was in our room. What was that? Now, I had thought I've heard people talking before and woke me up. I've had that feeling, Eli, you know, when you feel somebody's in the room and you're like, I could just sense them and it kind of wakes you up. They don't have to say anything. I felt all that before. But I can promise you, I have never in my life ever experienced get up. And then God brings me to this verse today. Juphoff said, that happened to me last week, exactly how you explained it. But nothing was going on, although my discernment radar was on high alert. Pandy Max says, cocaine is a hell of a drug. Good one. Good one. That's funny. But now, hold on. Let me continue to go here. He struck Peter on the side, saying, the angel said, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself, put on your sandals, and he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Folks, what happened to me the other night? I don't know. But I knew immediately that it was spiritual. I knew that it was from God, just like Peter, when he came to, he realized, this is of God. Surely God was here. Folks, I am telling you, as I am standing here in the flesh, something of God woke me up the other night, or the other morning. I don't know why. I don't know if it was for the message that I gave that day. But we've had some pretty powerful messages the last few weeks here. But you want to know what day it was? It was the day, it was episode number 333. 333, the Trinity. God, Son, the Holy Spirit. When we were talking about the roles of men and women. That's what day it was. So I don't know what the ultimate reasoning was. But CQ just said it in the chat. God reveals himself in mysterious ways. Sure does. Now, I'm going to come back to what I wrote down. Because Peter was kept in a prison, but the church would not stop praying for him, because many times when we pray, we are tempted to give up because we don't see the answers or the end game. But then Jesus told them parables. He said in Luke, then Jesus told them parables to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Don't give up. Don't be a quitter. Keep praying because Jesus told you to. Who else does that sound like? Who else tells you never give up, never quit, never stop? Who else says that? Today, in our world, in our everyday life, who says never give up, never quit, when you know you're in the right? And this will give you your answer on whether you believe that that man is anointed or not. He speaks right from the Bible, folks. He might not be this illustrious Christian who has verses at the tip of his tongue. Everybody is on a different journey with Jesus and in a different distance with Jesus. But I can tell you, the stuff that comes out of that man's mouth is of God. It is almost word for word in some cases, guys. Don't give up. Don't quit. Never stop. Never stop praying. Why? Because prayer is powerful. Now, you want to know how this all ties together so that it equals the name of the Godcast today, a steady stream? I'll show you why. Because some answers that people give up prayer on because they don't see the end game or how God's going to answer them, some answers can't come, ready for this, until the prayers build up enough pressure that it breaks through every single wall in your life. One little prayer isn't going to do it. Just like one little drop of water isn't going to do it. But the good news is, if you keep praying and a number of people for you keep praying, I can promise you that you are going to build up enough water, enough prayer, that when that water, prayer, accumulates to so much and builds up so much pressure, suddenly nothing can restrain it. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stand in its way. A mountain in your way is nothing compared to a mustard size amount of faith, folks. And when you put that mustard size amount of faith in front of or beside or even behind a massive amount of built up pressure, built up water, built up prayer, I can promise you it is going to explode and nothing is going to be able to stand in its way. No wall, no mountain, no jail cell, no door. Because God opens up doors, God closes doors, nobody else does. And that is done through prayer, much prayer, supplication, conversation, time spent with Jesus, like we do right here, right now, every day. A steady stream will come once you pray fervently. Jeremy, if you have time, listen to Julie from this morning. She talks about God preparing our hearts for what's to come. I feel that this lines up with your message. Funny how pretty much all God's messages line up with other God messages, right? But I see that. I see you're right. And the way that we prepare our hearts is through prayer. So get your super soakers out. Get your prayer guns out and pressurize that tube with all the prayer you can. Pray, pray, pray. And I mean literally, folks. Check this out. Getting ready to go to work. I pray over my home before I leave. Lord, I pray over this vehicle that this protects me as I go to work. And you are so awesome. Thank you very much. Boom, done. That's it. Driving to work. Somebody cuts you off. First thing you do. Oh, yeah, perfect. There you go. Nope, go ahead. Excuse me, sir. Holy Spirit says, that's not patience, man. What are you doing? And you go, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, I'm so sorry. That wasn't patience. You're right. You're right. Hey, is Jay Deeds in here? Is Jay Deeds in here, guys? Good morning, Jay Deeds. I wanted to say thank you for all your helping me yesterday. I'm so thankful for all of you. I love you. I'll write a letter soon. We're getting that right out to you, Jay Deeds. Okay? We love you too. That's what we do here. Jeremy, there was a bus accident this morning. The school bus pulled out in front of a truck, and the truck hit the bus, and the truck driver was killed. Were there any kids on the bus? Are there any kids okay? Are all the kids okay? That's terrible. That's terrible. Prayers for that family as well. But folks, that's what it is. You get to work and you say, Lord, thank you for getting me here. Appreciate that. Pray, have a good day. You come in. I mean, this is what I do. I come in, I start getting the studio all up and ready. I start getting the lights on, fire up all the engines, and I start preparing for the day. Eli comes in about a half hour, 45 minutes after I do. We start preparing for the shows. We start getting clips and stuff ready. We start getting thumbnails and stuff ready. But during that entire time, I'm not in constant prayer, but I'm in prayer. I'm in prayer. I'm talking to God. And that's all he wants you to do. And you'll build up that steady stream. Now, I want to read from Understanding the 66 Books of the Bible, because I want to read from Acts. Because a lot of people are new Christians on their journey with Jesus because of this show. By the way, make sure you share. Eli, we must be in a period where people are spring cleaning and just not watching, you know, stuff. Because I noticed that, like, we were getting up to about 1,900 with Rise Up, 1,700 every day. And all the other shows were, you know, 1,500 live viewers, you know, all the other hosts. And I've seen like maybe 500, 600 people less. Weather's getting nicer, things like that. Well, share the video either way. Let's read through what the book of Acts looks like at a 5,000-foot overview, okay? What exciting days to be followers of Christ. The church around the world is growing faster than ever, and the number of Christians is exploding. Some people say we're living in the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. Well, in sense, these last 2,000 years of Christian history have been a continuation of the story that began in the 28 chapters of Acts. In our English Bibles, the fifth book of the New Testament is commonly called the Acts of the Apostles. In some ways, that title seems to be a bit misleading. Only two apostles are prominently featured in Acts, Peter and Paul. And the acts that unfold are really the acts of the Holy Spirit, or, as some said, the continuing words and works of Jesus by his Spirit through the apostles. The author is Luke, the beloved physician who composed the third gospel. The books of Luke and Acts are twin volumes of a two-part book. Both cover periods about the 30 years. The gospel starts with the birth of Christ and finishes the story in Jerusalem. The book of Acts starts with the birth of the church and finishes the story in Rome. In Acts 17:6, Luke describes the heroes of Acts as, quote, these who have turned the world upside down. Sounds like somebody I know today. God grant that you may God grant that you too may turn the world upside down and that we may indeed be living in the 29th chapters of Acts. Key thought, Jesus returned to heaven at the end of his earthly ministry, leaving his spirit-filled followers with the glorious task of taking his message to the ends of the earth. Spread the gospel, not gossip. Right, folks? Bad Moon says, LFA family is a full-time prayer job. Sure is. Sure is. And I'm happy to do it, too. All right. It's time for some Ray comfort, don't you think? It is Comfort Fridays, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to be comfortable right now so you can be comfortable as we listen to the soothing voice of our friend, the one, the only, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ray Comfort with Living Waters and Ray Just Witnessing. Here we go.
You're angels?
Yes, we are.
We are angels.
Do you think there's an afterlife?
I do think that there is a form of existence which is exalted and beautiful, but I don't think it's exactly like this as we
sort of. So where are you getting this information from?
Huh?
Where are you getting the information from?
Oh, same place everybody gets it from.
You making it up?
Huh?
Are you afraid of death?
No.
You should be.
Should I?
Oh, yes. Always be afraid of that which will kill you, and death will kill you.
I feel like we're all going to die eventually, so.
You've just given up already?
No, I'm not giving up. I'm living life to the fullest, because what if I die today? I don't know that, you know?
Well, do you love life?
Of course.
You want to keep it, so you should look into whether there's an afterlife. Ever read the Bible?
I have, absolutely.
What do you think
of
that?
I'm an English teacher, so yeah, that's
okay,
part of it.
What do you think about what the Bible says? It says there is an afterlife.
Yeah,
it says absolutely. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and we have to stand.
You know, I mean, again, in terms of how I look at things, the Bible was written by man. It might have been inspired by God, but it was written by man, and so they're trying to describe something so ethereal in human terms, and I think it's kind of limiting how we use words. And being an English teacher, our use of words to describe things is vastly inferior to what the real experience would be.
Are you thankful to God for your life?
I am. I do pray every now and then. I do.
And are you thankful to God for your life?
Yes.
Okay, now what do you think God requires of you?
I don't know what he requires, I don't think. I just think you just have to be a good person and do the Lord's work.
Ever read the Bible?
I go to church. I'm very Catholic.
Have you been born again?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, in John chapter 3, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to enter heaven. He said it three times in a row. So it's so important. Have you been born again?
I don't think I have.
Well, we better get you guys born again, because I want to see you in heaven. I don't want to see you in hell.
Right.
You said you think you're a good person.
Of course.
Have you kept the Ten Commandments or broken them?
Kept them.
Never lied once?
No.
Have you lied ever in your life?
I have. I'll be honest.
I appreciate your honesty. Have you ever taken something that belongs to somebody else?
Maybe when I was a kid, yes.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
You know what? I do say OMG. I say OMG.
Lisa, would you ever use your mum's name as a cuss word?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It's disrespectful. And it's,
you respect her. You love her and respect her. But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother because you used his name as a cuss word. Very serious, Lisa. It's called blasphemy. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
No.
So what do you think of what Jesus said?
Oh, what Jesus said, Jesus was absolutely a prophet of God.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that what he said has certainly the basis of truth.
Okay, well, he said this, whoever looks at a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. How are you doing with that one?
Again, that's using human terms to describe something that's kind of beyond description.
It's lust beyond description?
He sure is an English teacher, because he's going to give us a recitation of what lust is and how it has nothing to do with unlawful sexual desire.
Lust comes in different forms. Look, I lust for money. You can lust for surf. I can lust for food. Their lust comes in many forms. So don't tell me that lust is about human desire for sex. That's not even it at all. I lust for a lot of things. I lust for a hug from my wife. That's not profane. Not at all. I lust for food when I'm hungry.
No, you desire food. You desire. You don't lust.
When I'm restless.
That's two different things.
Waves.
Do you know what you're doing?
I don't know. No.
You're trying to justify your sins.
Huh?
We're all guilty of
Oh, of course I'm a sinner. Duh, are you kidding me? I sin a lot.
So how are you going to do on Judgment Day? God's going to judge you by those Ten Commandments.
But as I said, there's a lot of different forms of God, so I'm not that worried about standing in front of him and justifying myself, because I think my actions and my thoughts are going to be good, because I've lived a life that I think is,
So do you think you're morally good?
Morally, yes. You know, maybe practitionally, like in the real world, I fall.
Back to you, Lisa.
Back to me, yes.
Have you ever looked with lust?
Yes.
Well, I appreciate honesty.
I'm very honest.
Yeah. So, if God judges you by the Ten Commandments, bearing in mind that you've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart.
I'm an awful person.
I wouldn't say that, but you're in big trouble with God if you're in your sins on Judgment Day. You'd be guilty of breaking the commandments as I would. Would you therefore go to heaven or hell?
Most likely hell.
Do you know what death is according to the Bible?
No.
It's wages. Did you know that?
No.
God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge looks at a heinous criminal that's murdered three people. He says, you've earned the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what's due to you. And sin is so serious to a holy God. It's not to us. We think it's no big deal, lying and stealing. But it's so serious, he's given you the death sentence. Your death is evidence that God is deadly serious about sin. So, it deeply concerns me that if you died in your sins, you'd go to hell. You know what God did for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
What?
Jesus died on the cross. He took our place. We broke the law. He paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. Lisa, if you're in court and you've got speeding fines and someone pays them, a judge will let you go even though you're guilty. You say, these fines are paid by someone else, you're out of here.
And that's when her sinless boyfriend reached out and stopped her hearing the gospel.
Let's go through the commandments, see how you're going
to
do.
You know what? I've got to take off.
You've got
to
go.
But thank you so much for
the opportunity. Too hot in the kitchen for you.
Oh,
no, give me 2 minutes.
No. Okay, quick. Okay.
God's going to judge you by his commandments. If you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. If you hate someone, you committed murder. All liars will end up in the lake of fire. No thief will enter God's kingdom, and no blasphemer will either. And we're all guilty, heading for hell, but God is rich in mercy. He provided a Savior in Jesus who took the punishment for our sins, rose again on the third day. And if you'll simply repent and trust him, God promises, and he cannot lie because he's without sin, he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift. You can't earn it by being good. You can't justify yourself. Salvation comes by God's amazing grace. And you've been very gracious to listen to me without butting
thank
in.
Thank you. I appreciate your
So what do you think
thoughts.
About what we talked about?
Oh, you know what? I believe that you guys are very pure at heart in what you're doing. And I believe that your faith is something that's to be real commendable for.
Well, can I give you a book I've written?
No,
give me 10 seconds to tell you what it's about before you say no.
Okay.
It's called Volatile, and it shows that 2,500 years ago, God named the nations that would attack Israel in the last days. And that's what we're seeing. The nations are coming down on Israel to attack them. God named the nations, showing you the Bible's God-inspired and its offer of everlasting life is credible. Let me give you the book.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, cool. Thank you very much. We're getting wet.
Kevin,
I appreciate
good talking
it.
To you.
Thank you. He took the book.
Real quick, here are three things to help you grow in your faith.
And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can get your evidence study Bibles at livingwaters.com. The amount of people that try to walk away from Ray, and it's their right to do so, right? Everybody can believe what they want. But Ray never lets them just walk away, does he? He's not rude about it. He goes, oh, come on. Just give me 10 more seconds. Give me 10 more seconds. They go, fine, 10 more seconds. But that 10 more seconds might be something that balances or that puts the scales out of balance, right? Towards God. You never know. So if we don't give up praying, why would we give up so easily when someone says, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to hear that. Now you are risking a confrontation with that person if you continue to push, because people hate to hear the word of God, right? However, if you do it in a respectful way, like Ray does, and Ray says, no, man, just give me 10 more seconds. I just got to explain to you what this book is about. Please give me a few more seconds. That right there makes the difference. Just remember that, okay? Always, always remember that. And now I have this other video I'd like to show you before we go today. And it really, I know a lot of people want to know about heaven. And I know people have a lot of questions about heaven. I'd like to put this on the screen and play this for you. When I watch these, I always try to go find where in Scripture these statements on these videos are backed up from, or backed up by, I should say. And I got to tell you, this is a good one. This is a good one. Who knows exactly, but based on the Bible, we know as much as we need to know what heaven is going to be like. Here's 9 facts of heaven.
Facts about heaven that will surprise you. Number 1. We won't miss our old lives. The upgrade from earth to heaven will be vastly superior to that from economy to first class. If we would miss something from our old lives, it would be available to us in heaven. Why? Because we will experience all God intends for us. He fashions us to want precisely what He will give us. So what He gives us will be exactly what we want. Number 2. We won't become angels. Death is a relocation of the same person from one place to another. The place changes, but the person remains the same. The same person who becomes absent from his or her body becomes present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We won't be angels, but we'll be with them. Number 3. We won't be tempted. We'll never forget the ugliness of sin. Having known death and life, we who experience life will never want to go back to death. We'll never be deceived into thinking God is withholding something good from us, or that sin is in our best interests. Number 4. We will have work to do. The idea of working in heaven is foreign to many people. Yet Scripture clearly teaches it. When God created Adam, He took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Genesis 2:15. Work was part of the original Eden. It was part of a perfect human life. Number 5. We will still experience emotions. In Scripture, God is said to enjoy, love, laugh, take delight, and rejoice, as well as be angry, happy, jealous, and glad. To be like God means to have and express emotions. Hence, we should expect that in heaven emotions will exist for God's glory and our good. Number 6. We still won't know everything. In heaven we'll be flawless, but not knowing everything isn't a flaw. It's part of being finite. Righteous angels don't know everything, and they long to know more. 1 Peter 1:12. They're flawless, but finite. We should expect to long for greater knowledge, as angels do, and we'll spend eternity gaining the greater knowledge we'll seek. Number 7. We will recognize one another. Scripture gives no indication of a memory wipe causing us not to recognize family and friends. Paul anticipated being with the Thessalonians in heaven, and it never occurred to him he wouldn't know them. In fact, if we wouldn't know our loved ones, the comfort of an afterlife reunion, taught in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, 18, would be no comfort at all. In heaven, we probably won't fail to recognize an acquaintance in a crowd or forget people's names. Number 8. What will we do to avoid boredom? Note the assumption. Sin is exciting and righteousness is boring. Believing in this assumption means you've fallen for the devil's lie. In reality, sin robs us of fulfillment. Sin doesn't make life interesting. It makes life empty. When there's fulfillment, when there's beauty, when we see God as He truly is, an endless reservoir of fascination, boredom becomes impossible. In heaven, we'll be filled, as Psalm 16:11 describes it, with joy and eternal pleasures. Number 9. If our loved ones are in hell, won't that spoil heaven? In heaven, we'll see clearly that God revealed Himself to each person, and that He gave opportunity for each heart or conscience to seek and respond to Him. Romans 1:18 to 2:16. Everyone deserves hell. No one deserves heaven. Jesus went to the cross to offer salvation to all. 1 John 2:2. God is absolutely sovereign and doesn't desire any to perish. 1 Timothy 2:3, 4, 2 Peter 3:9. Yet many will perish in their unbelief. Matthew 7:13. In heaven we'll embrace God's holiness and justice. God will be our source of joy. Hell's small and distant shadow will not interfere with God's greatness or our joy in Him. All of this should motivate us to share the gospel of Christ with family, friends, neighbors, and the whole world. 9 facts about heaven that will...
I love that. You want to know the part that hit me the most in that entire thing? And by the way, I love the fact that it backed up with Scripture anytime you say stuff like that, you got to back it up with scripture. My favorite part about that, I got to be honest, not my favorite part, I guess, but the part that really stood out to me the most was when it said, everyone deserves hell. Nobody deserves heaven. Whoa. It also tells you that at the end there, when it said, use this time right now to tell the grace of God to everybody so that you can ensure that they're not in hell. That's what we're doing. Now, people hate Christians because they say, don't Bible thump on me. Don't push your religion on me, or don't push your faith on me. It's no different than me trying to scream to you that there's a train heading towards you and you've got your headphones on and you can't hear it and you're about to die. That's the equivalence of what we're doing as Christians. And I wish people understood that. We'll pray for them, though. Because when we build up prayers and have a steady stream, nothing can stop us. Folks, Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I want to encourage you to share and hit the Rumble button on the way out if you haven't. I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here. God bless you, and have a great morning. See you later. Now it's found.